Hi everyone, welcome to All Things Creative, also known as Art Chats. As you know, I've been kind of using both titles lately. I'm your host, Linda Riesenberg-Fissler, and today we're going to talk about the Representational Art Conference, which will be taking place on March 31st through April 4th in 2019 in Ventura, California. And my guest today is Professor Michael Pierce, and he works at Cal Lutheran University, who is also, I suppose, Michael, you could say they're what, co-sponsoring or the
They are
founding
the
university.
sponsors, yeah,
Yeah, the
absolutely. They
sponsors.
underwrite the conference, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So
And then
and
we have other fabulous sponsors as well who contribute to what we do, who are awesome: Rosemary's Brushes and Michael Harding Paint and Raymar. And we have partner organizations too, especially ARC, the Art Renewal Center.
Yeah. So, and that list actually has grown over the years because I think I was at the first one. We broadcast live from the art conference, and we interviewed some of the guests, speakers, and artists, and from that out there. And that was the year that Roger Scruton, I think, was there, when Why Beauty Matters was the theme that we talked
Right,
about.
that was in 2014, would you
Yeah,
believe? 4 years
yeah.
ago. Yeah, that was wonderful. I remember when we booked Odd Nerdrum and Roger Scruton, and we realized that we'd got these two giants to come to the conference and talk, and they were going to face off on each other, do this sort of battle of the giants thing. Mike Adams and I, Mike has since retired, unfortunately,
Yeah.
but we were giggling like schoolboys. It was absolutely wonderful.
There was a wonder, it was just a wonderful atmosphere. I remember everybody, walking around, and every time they spotted Odd, they would sort of go, "Oh, there he is, there he is." And I was like, since I do art chats and stuff, it's I kind of lose that I don't know what you call it, like famous person awe or whatever you want to call it. So
Yeah.
it was just hilarious. I just kind of every time was like, "What in the heck?" It's like, go up and talk to him. I was encouraging him to go up and talk to him, and they're like looking at me like I was out of outer space. It's like, no, wasn't.
Well, he's a rock star. He's a painting
Yes.
rock star. I'm not surprised at all by that. If I met David Bowie, I wouldn't know what to say.
Well, that's
You
probably true.
know, one of the things that annoys me intensely is I'll never meet him now because he's died. But goodness, I'm thrilled that I managed to meet some of these fabulously famous people. It's kind of like fulfilling your childhood dreams.
It
You know what I
is.
mean? At this conference, we've got Roger Dean coming, and to me, that's a pure fanboy moment. I'm going to get to meet Roger Dean? That's impossible. He's a hero. He's a demigod. So I can't wait to meet him. And he's so nice. I talked to him on the phone to talk about the conference, and we had a great time chatting about art. And that's one of the nice things about the conference is it makes these sort of stars into real people. And they're still stars. I mean, Odd Nerdrum's a genius, for goodness sake. And Roger Dean is still the guy who produced 45 million copies of artwork and has made a fortune out of making wonderful imagery and has done so well out of it. And we all want to be like that, right?
Right,
So this is our
absolutely.
chance to get to meet these people and get to know a little bit about what they do and how they think.
Yeah, so we kind of danced around this a little bit, but let's get right into talking about this year's conference, and the theme is Imagine. So tell us a little bit of
Yes.
why you all decided that you wanted to go with that this year, and some information behind that.
Yeah. Well, so we have changed the world a little bit, haven't we? I remember in 2012, all of the talk was about how to get people to pay attention to representational art, and why was representational art so sidelined, and why didn't we have our own sort of representational art culture, right? And so TRAC was there largely to create a sense of community among representational artists. And to provide a venue for representational artists in the academy and elsewhere to get together and know that they weren't alone. And we got some very moving emails telling us that that's what we succeeded in doing. That was the beginning of it. But what I noticed over the years is that we've become incredibly good at traditional technique. Amazingly good. But there's something else happening. People are now applying traditional technique to creating imagery that's incredibly imaginative and doesn't resemble art that was produced in the 19th century or the 18th century or even way back when. It's changed. The artists are responding to our time and producing this amazing imaginative realism, for want of a better word. Imaginative realism seems to have become kind of the buzzword to describe what's happening. And so I thought, how interesting to look at this, because that's unique about representational art in this time. That's special. And that gives us a unique locus of attention to describe what we're doing in ways that are different from other kinds of art. So that's why we're looking at imagination and imaginative realism. But we're also looking at the historical background to how we have got here. I'd love to see papers about the Pre-Raphaelites, for example. Oh, by the way, we formed a partnership with Project Or, who are an organization that looks at esoteric art and esoteric symbolism. So I'm really interested in seeing a panel of papers that are about esoteric symbolism and secrets and hidden meanings in art, because I think there's quite a lot of that going on too today. So I'm very interested in what that will produce. So yes, imagery that has imagination and takes us to a different world is what I'm curious about.
Yeah, and I found the whole theme of imagination very interesting as well, because one of the things that I always run into when I'm teaching is, you know, doing my art painting class, oil painting class, is really kind of interesting, because I have a lot of students who come in and I say, okay, so what are you going to paint? I'm going to paint this thing from my mind, my imagination. And I just kind of sit there and look at them and go, okay, well, you know, I can't get in your mind. So I can't, you know, I'm not sure how much I can help you, but, you know, okay, give it a try. Always encouraging. And it's really amazing to me when somebody has a really good skill set to begin with, and they do that, and watching it evolve and hearing and talking and having those conversations about, okay, you know, this, I'm coming at as an instructor, and I'm saying something like, you know, okay, this doesn't feel like it's quite there yet, quite as developed or as a part of the image. And so we'll have whole different conversations than, okay, watch your edge here, you know, or this color doesn't go with this, you know, or something like that. It is a totally different conversation than, you know, a skill set conversation, if you will.
Yeah. I think imagination comes into making great art in a big way, of course. I don't think any work of art actually is truly realist in the hard sense of the word, that we're duplicating or imitating reality, because you can't really imitate. We don't even know what reality really is. We're limited by sensory perception.
Right.
So what we actually are doing is imitating our perception of reality. We can't imitate the whole thing, so we get what we can. So there's always a sort of a mental transition that takes place whenever we make any image of anything. Right. It doesn't matter if it's still life or a landscape or some total fantasy. It's always that same transition going on. And so I think that's tremendously interesting.
Yeah.
And yet, I think we absolutely need a solid foundation in technique, in the traditional sense of the word, to provide us with the skill so that we can render any image we want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you look at fantasy art, fantastic art, you're using the same skillful technique that realist painters use, but you're creating something from nothing. So you have to be really good technically in order to be able to do that. And I think that's wonderful. So there we get this sort of blending of the atelier training that many, many people have been developing over the years with a contemporary imagination. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, really exciting.
So let's talk about it. I know that people who are interested can still submit papers to the conference.
Very much so, yeah.
So talk a little bit about that.
I urge you to. Well, the conference is an academic conference. It doesn't aspire to sort of writing down in stone what everyone should be doing. Instead, what we do is provide a platform. We provide a place for the conversation. That's all. We don't have any doctrine. We're not trying to preach the gospel of the representational art, so to speak.
Right.
We want people to create that and bring it and have discussions and conversations about it. So TRAC is a very big tent in that regard. We do have serious academic standards. There's an academic committee that looks at the papers, and we make sure that we're not accepting just anything. We want people who bring an important point of view and a fresh kind of take on what's going on. And we want people to have academic backgrounds, but not always. Sometimes we accept papers from people who don't have an academic background just because the ideas that they're presenting are really interesting and we want to hear. So it's quite an open field in that regard. And I think it creates this this really exciting conversation at the event. It's a lot of fun to hear lots of points of view.
Right. And speaking from someone who had a little bit of a, oh, there's no way that I would, you know, ever be accepted, or I probably shouldn't submit because of that. I just would like to encourage people to go ahead and do that. Just step out of your comfort zone for a little bit to do that. And you might be surprised. So, I actually did submit something and was surprised that I got accepted. So thank you for, and thanks the content committee for doing that as well. So, but we'll get into like, the different areas, that you wanted to talk about, as far as like papers and things like that, that you're looking for. Let's step back a second. And there is one photo that we talked about in the green room, Michael. It's the one with the snake and the pillars. And you said you wanted to get into a kind of an imaginary type, talk about imagery and imagination while referencing this particular image.
That image is one of the reasons that I called Roger Dean and asked him if he would mind speaking to us at the conference. That's a very famous painting by him from a Yes album from in the 1970s called Relea. And here's a good example of how someone like Roger Dean turns imagery that's based on reality into something fabulous and amazing. Because Roger will take sketchbooks with him wherever he goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he draws representations of nature. He draws Sedona pine trees and makes these fabulous drawings. You've all seen imagery from the movie Avatar with the floating islands. That mm-hmm. originates with Roger Dean, of course, in the same way that this painting has taken actual observations of nature and turned it into this fabulous landscape, this fantasy version of reality. But it's based in actual observed nature, nature, and looking at the desert very closely and looking at rock formations very closely
mm-hmm.
and figuring out how they come together and what makes them work. And so, again, it's a good example of how imagination grows from reality and how we interpret reality into a new world, into something that isn't, but looks like it could be.
Okay, so we mentioned Roger Dean a couple times now, and he is going to be speaking at the conference, right? So, has he shared his topic or title or anything yet with you?
He has. He has. He's going to be talking about imagination and the future, and how we can use imagination to create worlds that suggest a better future for ourselves. I can't wait to hear him. I think he's going to be absolutely tremendous.
And which day is he scheduled on? Do you recall?
Oh, yeah, you've got me.
Okay, never mind.
Thursday morning.
Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. Yeah. So, and then
he closes the conference, in fact.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So he'll be wandering around for a couple of days looking for people to talk to him. So there's a reason to see
him. Yes, he will. Come and meet Roger Dean. Yeah, I'm going to put him to work on a panel too, so you'll get a chance to chat with him a little bit.
Oh, good. And then, do you want to talk a little bit about the conference structure before we get into talking about more of the speakers?
What do you mean, the schedule?
Yeah, a little bit about the schedule and what the panels and things.
Well, let's talk about some of the keynote speakers, shall we? We
Okay.
have a keynote speaker every day, and that's pretty fantastic. The first thing that happens is everyone arrives on the Sunday evening, and we have a little reception on the seafront. Our hotel is the Crowne Plaza Hotel. It's absolutely lovely.
It
They've
is
just done a
gorgeous.
renovation of it. Oh, it's so nice. Oh, my goodness. They've renovated all the rooms as if it wasn't fabulous enough already. If you've been to Track before, you'll remember it's right on the beach, literally, with one of the best surfing breaks in the world, literally just outside the door. So I love being there. I just sort of hang out on the balcony and look out the window and watch the surfers drifting in on the waves. It's really fantastic. A superb location. Anyway, so I digress. On Monday lunchtime, that we start off with Cheech Marin. Who's the comedian, of course, from Cheech and Chong, right? Do you remember
Right.
them?
Oh, yes. Yes,
Yeah.
I do.
So an unusual choice, you might think, for a representational art conference to get this hilarious comedian coming. But the fact is that Cheech Marin is a world-class collector of Chicano art, and he's starting up an art museum over in Riverside. So we're taking advantage of his developing this collection and getting this building off the ground to get him to talk about his work with Chicano artists. So I think
Great.
he's going to be fantastic because he's
Yes.
just a brilliant speaker and he has a lot to tell us about. So that's going to be a lot of fun and I think a really great way to start off the conference. So looking forward to that.
Yes.
Then Corinna Wagner, I think we've talked about her before. She is really enthusiastic about Victorian art and the Victorian body. And so she's going to be talking about bodies, which of course is super relevant to us as representational artists, because many of us are figurative artists and paint the body. And she's going to be talking about anatomy and Victorian art and medicine. Can't wait for that. She's really entertaining and a super lively person. She's very, very exciting to watch in action. So that's going to be a lot of fun too.
Great.
Who else have we got there? Roger on Thursday, of course, is going to be speaking about imagination and creativity. Who am I missing?
Tim.
Tim Jennison. Oh my goodness, I can't miss Tim Jennison. Tim is the sort of controversial person who created the movie Tim's Vermeer with Penn and Teller, the magicians. And Tim's going to be talking about his new work, which is to create Vermeer's view of Delft, because there's a lot of controversy about this painting that Vermeer couldn't possibly have used lenses because things are in the wrong place. And Tim has spent millions of dollars on proving how Vermeer set up his easel in an exact location. He's found the precise location where he painted the painting from, and he went to live in Delft for 6 months. And has been examining the painting and showing the viewpoint, and has done amazing historical research upon the painting and locating the buildings and when they were built and how they were built and why Vermeer did what he did in that painting. It's just an extraordinary thing. And boy, the depth of knowledge that Tim Jennison has about Vermeer, I think, is unsurpassed. He has examined. Tim has examined Vermeer absolutely thoroughly. I don't think there's anyone in the world who knows as much as Tim Jennison about Vermeer. Absolutely extraordinary and controversial. I'm
Right.
sure that people are going to come and want to pick a fight with Tim.
Well, and I don't think that really bothers him that much because he does have the knowledge that he has. And like you said, he's very polarizing. You either agree with him or you disagree with him. I don't know too many people who are kind of in that middle ground, but I've seen Tim's Vermeer, which I think was the first movie that he put together. And I just sat there and was in awe of the fact that he went to the extent that he went to recreate these paintings. And I'm like, wow, I was blown away by that. I mean, regardless of, I can't argue about Vermeer with him. I don't know as much as he does. And
No, exactly.
but I just, I mean,
Exactly.
the
Yeah, you
extent,
have to really know your stuff if you're going to argue with Tim, seriously.
you better.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
Yes.
no kidding.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that sort of thing because if you didn't have controversy and things to argue about, then you wouldn't have a conference, would you? So
What?
I think he's an awesome guest for the conference. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how people come to agreement about what Tim proposes and how they disagree with what Tim proposes. It's going to be great.
Right. And I, again, everything that I have heard has always been somewhat and very respectful of the positions that each person is coming from. It hasn't
Well, that's the
deteriorated
nice
into a
thing
brawl.
about track,
Exactly. Yes.
It's really a great event because of that, because people are nice to each other. We do disagree, but we disagree with each other politely, and we disagree with each other with respect. And so I think that's really important. That's one of the things that makes the conference so wonderful.
Right, exactly. So let's see, do we I think we hit all four of the major speakers.
Yes,
Yes.
and well, they're the major speakers, but we also have some pretty major artists coming, which I'm
Right.
super excited about.
So let's talk about
F.
them.
Scott Hess and Pamela Wilson and Boris Vallejo, Teresa Oaxaca. There's just a bunch of terrific artists: Virgil Elliott, Alicia Ponzio, and Alexi Steele, and Julie Bell, Scott Pryor. There's so many great artists coming. It's going to be really super. I'm looking forward to demos by some people who you don't normally see demoing. For example, Pamela Wilson is going to be doing a demonstration, and can't wait for that because it's a bit unusual to see her at work. I don't think she's ever done demonstration art before, so
Wow.
I think this is going to be really, really fun to see what her technique is because her paintings are so remarkable. I wrote, no, I didn't. Joe Bravo wrote an article about Pamela, her Absinthe Drinkers series of paintings, and really did a great job describing what she's getting into in the work. So how nice now to get to see how Pam actually produces these amazing paintings, and to hear her talking about some surprising aspects of these paintings, like synesthesia, for example.
Right.
She hears color, right?
Wow.
So there's and that's perhaps one of the reasons that the paintings come out in the way they do, with these very strong colors that kind of govern them. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I have the one that's showing if folks are watching on YouTube and not just listening via the podcast. I have the absinthe, one of the absinthe ones up right now, with the woman sitting on the floor with a big top hat, and it's just gorgeous. Just
They're lush paintings, right?
yes, yeah.
You look at them. Some of them are quite spooky, and some of them are just decadent and inviting.
Yeah,
You want to go and join in this great decadent party that's going
it kind of reminds me when I was younger. So no kidding,
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I don't think I
Yeah.
can handle
Oh,
that
I'm
today. So,
Yeah.
yeah, so then
Marvelous. Yeah,
we'd also.
then you got Joe Bravo coming, who is incredibly refreshing and super smart, and boy, he's again hard to argue with because he is so knowledgeable and has such a giant depth of knowledge that you can talk with Joe and go from Mussolini to Roman salt production, and it makes sense.
Well, it is
Because his
interesting.
knowledge is so deep.
Yeah, everything does have an influence at some point. There are a number of things that influence us every day, either consciously or subconsciously. So, how that gets interpreted into art, I'm sure there are influences there that we don't even know are occurring because of it's in that subconscious so much. So, kind of interesting from there. So, who else? Let's see, we have Mindy or Mandy, excuse me, Mandy Thies, Thies, Mandy Thies. I can't remember if that's exactly
Mandy
what.
Theus,
Yes, yeah,
I'm
thank
not sure how to pronounce this, but yes, Mandy, she's lovely, and
you.
boy, what a great spokesman for traditional training. I don't think you could find someone more even-tempered and calm and just downright sensible about how to persuade school districts to introduce traditional training into the schools. around the country, and the teachers love this. They love that they are given help in traditional training, so they can teach people how to draw. And she's doing absolutely fantastic work. So I'm really looking forward to her coming along.
And she's with the Da Vinci Institute, if anybody out there listening wants to look
right.
into that.
Yeah.
So, so I met Mandy. Go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead. I stepped on you. Sorry.
No.
Okay. Mandy works for the Art Renewal Center, of course, one of our sponsors with Kara Ross. Mm-hmm. And one of the great pleasures out of doing track is that things like that grow out of track. The ARC put together Da Vinci Institute because Kara Ross met Mandy at one of the track conferences, and they found like minds and went ahead and produced this thing. So I think it's absolutely wonderful that the conference has had this kind of impact on society. And we are changing the course of the culture a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. I think that's absolutely super.
Yeah, I met Mandy at the track that I was at Broadcasting Live, and she was up with Juliet Aristides, her atelier at the time, and she was looking for what was next. And so just watching her grow and you know, get so involved has been a delight to watch from the sidelines. I haven't seen her in years, so it'll be good to catch up with her at the concert or at the conference again. Concert? That's the conference again.
It's
so, yeah. Well, it's kind of.
She wrote an article for us for the magazine. If you go to the website, which is track2019.org, you'll find on the menu bar a header called Tract, TRACT. And that's our online conference magazine. And if you look in there, you'll find a really great article by her. Mandy Theus wrote all about the atelier and how to help spread the word about ateliers. Did a really good job of it. And you'll find other articles in there too. All sorts of stuff covering topics of interest. David Molesky's been writing some stuff for us, and Joe Bravo has done some articles for us. There's lots of material up there now. I think if you're listening to this and looking for really a good sense of what the conference is all about, then you could do worse than having a look at the online magazine. So head over to track2019.org and take a look at that. I think it's very, very worth your time.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about Boris.
Boris Vallejo, another one of my longtime heroes, and his wife Julie Bell too. Both of them are extraordinary fantasy artists. They are hopefully coming to the conference and doing demonstrations. We still have to wait for the funding to settle in for those two, but I'm pretty confident that that's going to happen. And they're going to be demonstrating fantasy art techniques. And I don't know. This raises an issue for me. Because I don't understand why it is that fantasy and science fiction art has been absolutely, completely neglected from the art history of what's happened in the last 100 years. This is a huge body of work. There are an amazing artists doing fantasy and science fiction art. They're incredibly influential in the culture, in all of these movies that you see over and over again. I referred to Roger Dean earlier on in the movie Avatar. Who hasn't seen Avatar, right?
Right.
Now, why isn't there academic writing about this art? There should be. We should all be interested in what's going on with this. It's so influential. So I'm hoping that we will see a bit of that going on at track, and that we'll encourage the discussion of fantasy and science fiction. And that's one of the reasons that I asked Boris and Judy to come. I can't wait to meet them both. Julie, I've spoken to on the phone several times, and she's super nice and very friendly and open. She just won the animal category prize with the Art Renewal Center for that fabulous painting of tigers that she did. It's a wonderful piece of painting. Both spectacular technicians and super imaginative. And I'm just really looking forward to hearing what they have to say.
Yeah,
and what they have to do to show us how they work.
It is interesting that the comment that we were asking why it hasn't been accepted, that is an interesting question. I mean, thinking back even as far as Star Wars, and I have a book downstairs because I'm a big Star Wars fan, and it's like The Art of Star Wars, and this was published out separately. I don't even know how many copies it sold, but it's still downstairs, and it talked about, you know, all of the concept artists that were there creating that whole galaxy. Right. And then, you know, you think about The Lord of the Rings, they, Peter Jackson had
fantastic, right?
Yeah, Peter Jackson had two artists employed every day that worked from like 8 to 12 hours a day, coming up, again, concept artists coming up with that world and what it looked like. So, two artists sitting there drawing all day, creating a whole new world, which, you wonder what happened to all that art after it was done. Certainly, I guess to build it, you have to see it. So these concept artists are certainly key to those movies, Avatar especially as well. I mean, that was a whole nother world as well. So
Well,
yeah.
one of the things I find so encouraging about today is this is a great time to be a trained artist. You could find a culture more organized around visual imagery than the way we are now. Everything we see, every movie you watch is being touched by a representational artist who's so skilled that you don't even notice the changes that they make. And they're working on colors and they're doing all sorts of interesting work to produce the appearance of movies and change the appearance of movies. And they're very well trained. I live over in Thousand Oaks in California, just down the road from Burbank. And the studios are all right down there. Universal Studios is just down the road. And I can tell you, my models that I have come in for my life drawing and life painting classes are working for the studios. And every Friday, the animators go down to the studios and they draw people. They draw the figure, and they're extraordinarily good at it. So this I think is the best possible time to be an artist, and a wonderful time to be a properly trained artist. We're doing very, very well right now, Linda. I'm so optimistic. I think it's a fabulous time to be a trained artist.
Just to add to that story a little bit, I have one as well. I have a very good friend who plays guitar. He played guitar for Manhattan Transfer, and he lives out in Carlsbad, California. And his name is Wayne Johnson. And Wayne was telling me, because he knows I'm an artist as well, so we were kind of talking back and forth one time, and he told me a story that he used to go down to the Disney studios and would play guitar for the artists there. And of course, he had to move a lot, and they would be like trying to capture him in almost like a cartoon thing with a one, one gesture and then another gesture on top of that, and just a rapid fire type of sketching drawing sessions that he said would go on for about 2 hours or so. They wouldn't lose that skill of drawing the figure and catching gestures. And, I thought that was really interesting that he ended up doing that. And he said he would do it like, almost every Friday they asked him to come in and do it. So it, and while of course they were doing it, they were listening to him play his guitar, which is absolutely wonderful. So it's, little side, advertisement there for Wayne. And I've had actually had Wayne on our chats before, and we talked about the creative process and, how it's kind of similar between all of the different art worlds that are out there. So, I'm going to put up a picture of the sculpture of the lady with that was holding the balls. And I assume I think you told me earlier that you're going to have some sculptures around this year,
Yes,
right?
in one of the shows, we have a couple of shows coming up with the conference. I'm curating one at the Blackboard Gallery, which is going to be called The Illusionists. And in that show, the great sculptor Richard MacDonald has promised to send some of his bronzes down. I really hope he sends the one you see there,
Yes,
Nightwalker.
gorgeous.
One of my favorite pieces of work by him. I absolutely love it. I covet that, and then feel guilty about coveting
And I'm assuming that she's probably holding the world and not a ball. So it's probably
Could be, yeah.
misinterpretation maybe by me, but it is gorgeous. It's wonderful.
Isn't it though? Yeah, I love Richard's work. I think he's absolutely marvelous. He spoke at the conference in 2015, I think it was, and came down and gave a very inspiring talk. So it was very good to get to know him. I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
And so there are actually, I'm going to call them field trips, two field trips, the one that you just mentioned, and then there's another one to another museum. Tell us about that one.
Right. It's actually all on the same day. On Tuesday is our field trip afternoon. We'll be heading over to the Blackboard Gallery and to the Carnegie Art Museum. Suzanne Baylor is curating a show over there, which I'm not quite sure of the title of, actually. I'll have to ask her because we've got to get information about that online as soon as possible. And then we head over to the university, California Lutheran University, where Joseph Bravo has curated a show which is called Pathos Along a Contemporary Frontier. And that's a show of paintings by Rigoberto Gonzalez, who is an amazing artist who's painting in the Rio Grande Valley, right on the border between Mexico and the United States. And he's, you know, he's painting kind of like Velázquez or someone like that.
Wow.
These huge, dramatic, sort of Baroque-looking or neo-Baroque paintings, really spectacular. And they're a bit controversial and disturbing because you're seeing people who have been killed, murdered by the cartels in these paintings, and weeping, and you know, and the police. And mariachi band, you know, these very sort of mixed audiences going on inside the painting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super dramatic, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be spectacular, and that's going to be at the Roland Gallery at California Lutheran University. So that's going to be a good one.
Great. Okay, so I want to take you back to the papers. And what I want to ask you is, since you've been probably combing through all of the ones that have been submitted and everything, are there specific areas that you would like to see papers submitted for that maybe hasn't had very many, or a specific topic that you're looking for that you haven't seen many papers on? And then also,
the main theme is imagination, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wiggle room in there. There's plenty of space in there. I mean, for example, esoteric symbolism and imagination and allegory. I'm interested in allegory, of course. I've painted a huge series of paintings that are all allegorical. And how does imagination fit into, you know, generating allegory? I think that's rather interesting. But there's lots of wiggle room. I would love to see papers about Graham Harman, for example, who's been writing about what he calls object-oriented ontology, and that's a new and refreshing take on philosophy, which I think provides an alternative to some of the more worn-out and tired, endless subjectivity arguments of postmodernism, which are just not going anywhere. There hasn't been any good new philosophy really since I would say 1998, something like that. It's become a bit stagnant, and Graham Harman seems to be opening up some interesting and new possibilities in philosophy that I think will have a big impact on how we perceive making representational art. So that could be interesting. I'm interested in papers about pop surrealism and lowbrow, and what the imaginative processes are within there. I mean, how do we look at those, and how do we understand them? And what is the relationship between what's happening now in imaginative painting and in the past? Looking at pre-Raphaelite paintings, for example, and the imagination that creates those worlds in comparison to the imagined world now. So there's lots and lots of room for all kinds of different papers here. We want to hear from people. So. Yeah, if you're an academic artist or a studio artist and you have something to say, then let us know.
Cool. I was going to ask a little bit about, for those who have never or maybe are wondering what exactly goes into writing a conference paper, can you talk a little bit about what the content committee and what you would be expecting to see? Like, I know that you have out on the website is a place where you can submit your paper and you put in your personal information, if you will, and then you write or you submit an abstract, which is about 500 words. So
right.
From there, what happens?
So let's back up just a little bit. So,
absolutely.
So when you're writing an academic paper, it needs to be thoroughly researched. You can't just make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about opinion either, largely. It's really about looking at what has happened and describing what has happened, how it's happened, and why it's happened, and looking at authorities in the past who have said things about what you're interested in, what they said and why they said it, and then perhaps coming up with new interpretations of those things that haven't been said before. So, if you're coming up with something and you're just saying that avant-gardism sucks and representational art is great, it's probably not enough.
Reject. Right?
It needs to be something a bit deeper than that. We're looking for interesting topics of conversation and interesting areas that haven't been explored and need to be explored. I mean, what about fantasy art? What about a history of fantasy art? Where is that history? Who's who are the sort of founding fathers of it? Why aren't there any academic papers about Roger Dean? There should be. Mm-hmm. Why aren't there academic papers about Odd Nerdrum? There probably are actually, but not many. But there should be. You know, we want papers that explore the foundations of contemporary representational art, 21st century representational art, in depth. We want to see knowledge. Right. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you had said to me earlier was that, you know, don't try to fix the world. You're basically presenting, right. you're presenting one possibility, one opinion, if you will, but it's got to be beyond opinion, because like you said, it's got to be based in facts and knowledge. But so opinions would very quickly get rejected. Facts and knowledge is important. And you have to, if, you know, don't fix the world, just put something out there that causes conversation, that brings us conversation. We're not out there to answer the question. We're out there to pose the question and then hear sides and knowledge and facts and all of that together. So we want to start the conversation. We don't want to necessarily provide you with all the answers. Is kind of the way that I look at it. So I think we did a good job of that. So if anybody's sitting on the fence out there, you have till January 15th, correct, to submit a paper?
That's right. The second wave of papers, January 15th. Yeah.
And then when is the last possible time that anyone can register for?
Wow, we keep that going up to the end, about a week before the conference. So yeah, bring them in, keep coming.
Yeah.
We need you to register. It's not a conference without you. Yeah, so exactly. please get on the website and fill in the registration form and join us, because there's only one way to really, truly participate in the conference, and that's by being there. So if you're sitting on the fence about it, get out your credit card and go to the website, fill in the form and register, because I guarantee you will enjoy Track 2019. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
So track2019.org, you'll see the little register button at the top right-hand corner.
Yes, and just wanted to take a few minutes, and we'll cycle back around to getting the registration and all that mentioned a second time, or possibly the third time by the time we do it. But I just want to catch up with you a little bit. And so what have you been painting? I know you've been busy with track and you probably haven't been in the studio as much as you'd like to be, but what are you personally exploring right now?
Well, it's been a rough year for many reasons. But one of the reasons I've had a rough year is because I had a shoulder replacement surgery. Aww. Because after 35 years of painting, I ground down the cartilage in my shoulder. So it's been very, very slow for me for painting. For 6 months, I couldn't lift my arm up at all. So that set me sideways. But this has gradually been healing. And now I'm back in the studio. I'm painting a couple of hours at a time, which is fantastic. And I've been working on a pretty decent sized painting. It's about 10 feet high and 6 feet wide, something like that. So a good sized painting. And it's really a continuation of my paintings of tarot cards. This one is the World, which is the last card in the deck. I'm looking at the questions of rebirth and regeneration. And it's referring back to my painting of the Angel of Death. Do you remember that one with this skeletal form with peacock wings sort of wading through a sea of skulls? It was very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got four women who are kind of in the sea of skulls, and they're kind of raising up another woman who's a sort of an ethereal figure. And she's rising up out of this sea of skulls that's around her. They're kind of incarnating this new essence of woman. who is the new life that comes out of death, the regeneration of life and energy and rebirth. So I'm very excited about the painting. I think it's really a neat piece, and I'm enjoying very much being able to paint again. It's been very frustrating and tiresome. And we just moved house as well, Linda. So I have a new little home studio to work in too, apart from the one over here at the university. I have a new home space. So I'm really looking forward to getting that set up and beginning work there. And I think it's going to be very nice. It has a French window, so I can just open the door and I can turn it indoors and outdoors, you know, to get that fresh air coming in. It's going to be very pleasant.
Sounds
so I'm looking
wonderful.
Forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So, well,
yeah, moving house is a pain. I don't recommend it to anybody.
We've thought about it a couple times, and that's about as far as it's gone. So, it's like uprooting your whole life. Well, it is uprooting your whole life, and
really, really awful.
Yeah,
so,
if you like being grounded, not a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been really wonderful to hear your voice again, Michael. We haven't talked in a while, but I was very happy. You're always willing to come on and talk with us, and I do appreciate that. Is there anything that you think we might have missed? Anything you want to add about the conference? Or?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many wonderful artists and speakers coming that we haven't talked about. And, you know, I guess let's just quickly talk about a few of them. Did I mention Teresa Oaxaca is coming?
You mentioned her name, but we haven't talked about Teresa. So,
she's so cool. She wears, I think, Edwardian clothes, right? Is it Edwardian or Regency? I don't know. Anyway, she wears these fabulous dresses everywhere and does this makeup on her face and does her hair up. Looks amazing. And paints herself in these clothes. Everyone in her paintings is Edwardian or dressed up. And she paints mad tea parties. And they're just glorious paintings. So she's going to be doing a demonstration. I'm really quite excited about that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So she'll be there. Pamela Wilson, I mentioned. Alicia Ponzio is coming. Great, great sculptor. And she's going to be doing a demonstration for 2 nights on Sunday and Monday. She's going to be showing us imaginative sculpture. So we're creating figurative sculpture without a model.
Oh, wow.
Frightening. My goodness.
It would frighten me.
I admire that so much. I couldn't do it. No. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Alexei Steele is coming, my wonderful Russian friend. Everyone knows Alexei Steele's laugh, and he's such a joy. So can't wait to see him. He's going to be demonstrating his drawing. He drew me the other day, and he's got some really interesting ideas going on about drawing, and he's using this kind of polygonal shape and finding the planes of the polygon and applying that to the features of the face to create his portraiture. It's really interesting to watch him sort of crafting these figures out of these planes. Really cool. Scott Pryor is coming, that he'll be demonstrating. He's absolutely fantastic artist from California. Steve Deleuze is coming. He's going to be on a panel and talking about the modern imagination. Can't wait to see him. He's such a genial fellow and wonderful painter. You know his work, of course. He
yes.
does these sort of encaustic paintings. They're absolutely wonderful. Regina Jacobson is coming. She's a wonderful allegorical figurative painter, used to be a fashion designer. So you really see that in her work, the references to the fashion industry and wonderfully designed costumes she puts together. Michael Zakian, who's the curator over in Pepperdine University's gallery over there, and he'll be talking about imagination. Brian Booth Craig, the sculptor, a fabulous sculptor. Goodness, I wish I could do sculpture. I'm so envious of good sculptors. I can't even begin to do it.
Yeah.
And then Alina Kerler, who is Spanish and English, she's going to come and talk. And she is, I think, going to be Camille Paglia in the future. She's got an extraordinarily perceptive mind, and I think is going to be really, really important one day. It's going to take her some time. She's quite young, but she's extremely perceptive, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say. So really a tremendous event. Virgil Elliott, you can't miss Virgil. Everyone knows Virgil Elliott, right? Traditional oil, he wrote his book, Traditional Oil Painting Techniques. And Virgil's book's coming out in a new edition right now, by the way, any minute now. I hope he's got it ready for the conference, because I want him to do a book signing if possible, because I want to buy the new edition of it and get him to sign that, because I already have his first edition. And I collect signed books, you know. I love having signed books by the artist. I can't wait. I'm a book fiend.
Yeah, I actually
And
probably.
Virgil has been to every single track conference.
Yes.
He was there at the very beginning, and I asked him to come to every single one. He's so foundational and so important to us, because if it wasn't for Virgil, and I asked him to come to the conference for very personal reasons. If it wasn't for Virgil Elliott, I wouldn't be painting how I paint now. I
Oh.
literally learned to paint out of Virgil Elliott's book, because back in the old days, in the terrible 90s, no one was teaching traditional studio skills. There were a few ateliers, very few. It was so hard to find traditional painting technique, and I learned it out of Virgil's book. So I'll always be indebted and grateful to Virgil for doing that.
Anyone else that you think you may have missed?
Oh, I don't know. Linda Fizzler's coming.
Well, I wasn't fishing for that, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it was really a surprise that the paper got accepted, but it's going to be fun. I enjoyed myself the first time I was out there in 2014. Met a lot of interesting people, made a lot of friends from there, gave me a whole list of new art chats. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell a little story, and my husband will be really, really embarrassed, but it is so funny. It was after the conference, and we were over at Tony's house, and Tony Pro, and Daniel Graves was kind of sitting alone in Tony's kitchen, and my husband sits down, who I'm going to preface this with, my husband does not know artists. Okay, he is so far from the artist side. So he sits down next to Daniel, and he says, "Are you an artist?" And Tony and I just wanted to hide. We were just like, oh,
Yeah,
no. So it was kind of funny,
he's
but
sitting
yeah.
next to one of
Exactly.
the
And I was in there like, I just looked at Tony.
great
Tony looked at me and I said, "Is there a closet somewhere I can go hide in?" And he just started laughing. But
ones.
yeah, so it was a fun time. Like I said, I met so many interesting people, and yeah, so it's going to be fun this year, just as much fun, I'm sure, even more probably because of the topic, imagination and creativity. That whole connection is an interesting process for me. And with teaching, there's always the question of, I don't have. Do I have enough imagination to paint? Or some form of that question always comes in. So it was an interesting,
Yeah.
Well,
we
area to
always
look
get
at.
asked. Artists are always asked, where do ideas come from?
Right.
It's like the perennial question. Roger Dean talks about this in the interview that's on the in the Tract magazine online. He said a rather nice thing about it. He said that he'd been in, he was chatting with a musician about it, and he said, "Where do ideas come from?" And he put his hands down on the table and he says, "Well, I think about what I'm doing, and I write and do what I do, and then the ideas come from over there."
Yeah, exactly. It's so
They
true.
come somewhere we don't understand. It's one of the mysteries of the universe, is where do these ideas come from? And I think it has a great deal to do with allowing yourself to set the scene for the ideas. It's not about looking for ideas in particular. It's about looking at things that interest you, and then the ideas come out of that. They kind of bubble up. They emerge from that combination of elements. We've talked about emergence before, right?
Right.
I
Have it
think
then.
emergence is absolutely key. Imagination is all about emergence.
Absolutely. And I actually, that was one of the things I was going to tell you is I need to bring your book with me so that you can sign your book, because I don't think it is
I'd
signed.
be
So
very happy to. Yeah. Art in the Age of Emergence.
there you
You can
go.
find it on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I tend to live in the
Quick
fiction
plug.
world, so my books are all fictional. So, well, there's some art instruction books out there too, but yeah, I love living in that fictional world and writing in that fictional world. So, but again, you know, it's my imagination. That world does kind of exist because it is based in history, but it's still three imaginary people living in that historical world bound by that. Yeah. And then all the different stories and things like that, that come out from it. But, you know, so I don't know, you know, if you asked me, is it easier to paint from your imagination or write from your imagination? I'm not sure what answer I would come up with.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, how do you write about even the present? Even works that are nonfiction about the present require imagination to describe the present.
Right.
Because everywhere is a foreign country to us. We don't know anything with great certainty. You know, one of the things I've learned recently is that the universe is extraordinarily based on these remarkable coincidences. And the coincidences are so unusual, but in this universe, that's what we should expect. We should expect remarkable occurrences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the complexity of the universe. And it's really quite a mind-boggling idea, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I have probably kept you close to an hour, sir. And I really appreciate your time. And I know
God, it feels like 5 minutes.
Oh, you're sweet. but I know that you probably, have some classes and stuff that you have to teach?
No, we're in exam week.
Oh, lucky
it's,
you.
It's the end.
Ah, yay. Good. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a few weeks of peace and quiet, relative peace and quiet, over Christmas vacation. So it'll be nice to have a little rest.
Oh, one thing I did want to say, which I'm not bragging or anything, but maybe I am. I went out and looked at the things where you have the list at each of the artists and speakers, and then you can click on the individual people, and it tells you what papers and things that they're going to be presenting. And I was blown away that evidently my thing has been shared like 161 times on Facebook.
Really? Wow.
And
outstanding.
I know. And I'm sort of going, I said, either people are saying, how did she get in? Or people are saying, you know, hey, let's go there. So hopefully it's the latter. Hey, let's go there. But yeah, I mean,
well,
it's
I hope so.
But I was blown away. I was like, now I know I didn't share it 161 times. So anyway, so go out, please go out to track, TRAC2019.org, and take a look at everyone who's going to be there, speakers and artists that will be demonstrating the exhibits, the call for paper, the TRACT, the magazine. And then you'll see a little tracked. And then you'll see a little red register button. And hopefully Michael and I will see you out there. Again, you cannot describe in words how wonderful a setting this conference has at the Crowne Plaza. Michael's not kidding. You are right on the Pacific Ocean. So if you need a breath of fresh air, and all of us who live in this nice cold area of the country back east, this is your excuse to go out and stink your feet in the sand and enjoy some warm weather in the sun of California. So, again, and the dates are March 31st through April 4th, 2019, and the conference takes place at the Crowne Plaza in Ventura, California. So, Michael, again, thank you for coming on and telling us about track and what you've been up to lately.
My pleasure, Linda. It's always a pleasure. Do call me again, won't you, for this? I love doing it, and it's so nice to be able to speak to everyone and tell everyone what's going on.
Yes.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, well, keep in touch, because like I said, if we need to do something in addition to the one that we're doing here so that we can help to get the word out, we would be more than happy. Or I would. Who's we? Me and the mouse in my pocket. I would be more than happy to, you know, help you out spreading the word. So, thanks again for coming on the show. And thanks to everyone out there who's been listening. If you have any questions, Michael is on Facebook. There is also a Facebook page for Track, so you can actually post your questions there. Anywhere else they can get in touch with you, Michael, if they need to?
Sure. The Representational Art Group on Facebook. Representational Art Group. Yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah. So plenty of places where you can ask your questions if you have any. And then I pretty much think that we've covered it all. Again, track is March 31st through April 4th, 2019. And the website is trac2019.org. All right. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a million. Bye now.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.